stuff. How many of you got a Valentine's present? How about a Christmas present? Now, how many, if you give somebody a nice gift, do you wrap it in newspaper? The nicer the gift, the classier the paper you put it in. I mean, if I were going to give you a diamond ring and I'm going to spend about $1,000 on that ring, I'm not going to take, you know, I'm not going to spend $1,000 on a ring and give you that nice little black box to put that thing in and then go get some tinfoil and wrap it up. The package will accommodate the value of the present. And if I were going to say something to you this morning, you got a good thing on the inside of you and you're a package. And your outside needs to represent a little bit of the good that's on the inside of you. You got some good stuff on the inside of you, you should look like it. We went to Belle's house on a holiday one time, and Belle gave herself a present. It said, from Belle to Belle. And this was a fine bottle of perfume. I mean, she said she got it from Paris, amen, or wherever it came from. But it was a fine bottle of perfume, and I noticed the difference between the types of perfume and colognes. You know, when you go down to Walgreens and you get a bottle, it's a nice little bottle, you know, but you can see the little seams on the outside of the bottle. It just looks real cheap. No care and consideration to that thing. I probably wouldn't have had to smell the perfume to know that this was some good stuff by the bottle that it came in. You remember how fine that bottle was? How fine the box was? Well, it's the same thing about us as believers and as Christians. And so many times we beat ourselves up and we just treat ourselves anyway. And so, oh, you got to be modest. You got to look like you're going through a whole bunch of stuff. No, you know what? There's something good on the inside of you. And nobody will ever take what's on the inside of you seriously when your package looks so bad. That's why, anybody ever get into marketing? Anybody ever heard of marketing? If they have a product, they're going to make that thing look good. Anybody try, Tom, you tried to sell your house. And when you wanted to sell your house, you told Clint to take all the wheels off the truck and put it in the front yard, right? That was going to work, you know. We're going to get this house gone. Get that truck out front, honey. No. You got the junk out of the front yard, amen. You spruced it up and you made it look good because you wanted the thing to sell. Well, don't you know you're the package of God? You're the temple of the Holy Ghost. And many people don't ever sample the good because the package looks so bad. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. One of the things that I've learned, that when God gets a hold of people, you know what? Just something. Anybody ever seen people just look better after God gets a hold of them? I mean, they just look better, and it's not just the light on their face. I mean, they really look better. I've seen God take some ugly folk and make them look good. And the glory of God gets a hold of you, that something will happen to you. It says, know ye not that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Look at yourself and say, I'm a holy thing. My purpose is to house the presence of God. Take care of his house well. We got around here at the church and we want to make this church building look good. And we really do. We got new carpet down. We did some things. We wanted this place to look good. Why? Because it represents the presence of God. Well, I tell you what. You represent the presence of God. You're the carrier of the glory of God. Amen. And if you think, if it wouldn't be appropriate for the house of God to look any kind of way, how many of you love to be up here and I just had toilet paper all over the front of the church when you came in on Sunday morning? How would you like that? What would you do if I had grease from, I just worked on a car and left the car parts in the middle of the thing and we just pushed it out of the way and went on and had church? Well, no. It's the same thing about you. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost and you house the presence of God. And as you honor this house, if you think it would be inappropriate for the house of God just to look any kind of way, just to smell any kind of way, just to be any kind of way, you know what? It's the same thing with you. How many of you think that there should be a distinct sound from the temple of God, from this building? There should be a distinct sound that came from here. When you pull up in front of here, you don't want to hear a Twisted Sister playing. And you don't expect to hear Madonna singing when you come in here. Amen? You expect a distinct sound to come from this house. Why? Because of what it's called to do. Well, the same thing with his people. You are the temple of God. And you're a holy thing. Think about the product that you carry on the inside of you and market yourself. Be good stewards of the building, the temple of God, which abides on the inside of you. What a job. Go to a fine restaurant, and what's the guy that just makes sure everything is just together? The maitre d', he just makes sure everything is real sharp. Let me accommodate you. He walks around and checks everything and makes sure it's all sharp. Well, don't you know that you need to be the maitre d' of the temple of God? Amen. I house the anointing of God on the inside of me. I want this thing to be perfect. Not for myself. Not for myself, but for him that's on the inside of me. Know ye not that you are the temple of God? Many men defile the temple of God. Him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which ye are. How would you defile something? How could you defile something by using it for anything that it's not meant to be used with? 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. It says, examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith. It says, prove your own selves. Know ye not, ye are not your own selves. Your body doesn't belong to you anymore. So he said, I just don't like looking good. You know, I'm just a modest person. Well, I don't care what you like. You don't belong to you anymore. Amen. Notice when the prodigal son came home to Jesus, what did he do? He put a ring on his finger. Amen. Coat on his back. Amen. I'm going to look like God wants me to look. And I'm going to treat myself like God would want to be treated. Yes. Why? Because of God abides on the inside of you, and he loves you, and he cares about you. Know ye not that you're not your own self? How that Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Christ is in you unless you're worthless. You know that word reprobate basically means worthless. Good for nothing. You know, reprobate means they're just full of a bunch of sin and full of a bunch of mess. Yeah. Good for nothing people will be. If you're full of a bunch of sin and you're built a bunch of stuff that's going to hold you back, you will be worth nothing. And when you think about that word reprobate, the word reprobate basically means worthless. Somebody say, I'm not worthless. I have value. I think that's the thing about this. We have to think about ourselves, and everybody's got to think of something. Christ dwells in me. Many might think, I don't have some big college degree. I'm not one of the king's kids. You know, I'm not royalty. I didn't grow up in the upper side of the, on the right side of the tracks. You know, my daddy wasn't a doctor. My mama wasn't a lawyer. Are you reprobate? You are not worthless. You are the temple of the Most High God, and you have value. There is something on the inside of you. There's purpose on the inside of you. There's significance on the inside of you. God can use you. It is no longer I that lives anymore. It's Christ that lives in me. Therefore, I have purpose and I have value. And everybody needs to find out what their purpose is, what God wants to do in and through them. If Jesus went up there and said, listen, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I may be, you may be also. Amen. And he talks about heaven, how great heaven is. Somebody say, where God goes, he goes to some nice places. He came down once to a pit one time. Amen. Somebody say, once. Took care of it and fixed it. Amen. He doesn't like pits. He did something about it. He didn't say, I go up there to prepare a place for you to be just like where you're coming from. No, he fixed that place. So we can understand that when God looks at something, he looks at something that he can do something with. If God's going to prepare heaven for you and he desires to live inside of you, imagine what he considers you to be. God lives in you and he's not griping about it. He doesn't have an apartment ad looking for another place to move. He's not in there saying, I got to get out of here. He's not trying to leave you. Amen. He wants to be there. Now, my little children, Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you, I desire to present you now and to charge my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Well, don't you know that that's the ministry of the church? That's the ministry of true believers? That's all things that we do is that one would be, in Galatians chapter 4, verse 19, that Christ would be formed in you. That's what we're trying to do, to perfect Christ on the inside. He's already perfect, but for you to start to manifest what's on the inside of you. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which begun a halfway sorry work in you, he which begun a discount work in you, Anybody remember those things when in the 80s they had those boxes that didn't have any color on it? It was just a white box with black letters, generics. He who which begun a generic work within you will be faithful to complete it. God has begun a good work in you. There's something good on the inside of you. He which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Also, Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. I would say, what's going on the inside of me? You ever met people that are wigged out? And you ask them, I don't know what's going on in the inside of me. So many emotions and so many thoughts. I just can't handle myself. There's just something going on in me. I don't know. I can't get my thoughts together. There's just so many things going on. I can't verbalize. There's just a lot of stuff going on right now. I just can't talk about it. Well, let me tell you what's going on inside of you. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, 13. For it is God which worketh in you. That's what's working on the inside of your spirit. That's what's got you praying. That's what's got you thinking. It is God which worketh on you both to will and to do his good pleasure. God's working you to please himself. What do you mean? God is working on the inside of you to please himself. Somebody say, clarify yourself. It said, listen, God have pleasure in what? The prosperity of his people. God's trying to please himself in you. The Bible says God have pleasure in the prosperity of people. It is God on the inside of you trying to get your inside together so you could have a prosperous soul, amen, and live a life of purpose, of completeness, and of peace. You know, we don't have everything we want right now. Whoop-de-doo. Whoop-de-doo. Who cares? But I told someone, and I really meant it from the Bible, I said, I tell you what, I'm just happy. I said, I'm just happy. I said, I'm just a happy person. Say, I'm full of joy and full of peace. Why? Because God is on the inside of us trying to make things better. Hallelujah. Say, God is working on me. He's working in me. He's not working to take you down. He's working to build you up in him. And if you get along with the Holy Ghost, somebody said, you know, my God shall supply all of my need according to, you know, his riches and glory. Well, God's working on you. If you let God work, things will get a whole lot better. Say, God, please yourself in me. You need to tell God, make yourself happy in me. God, you can do whatever you want to in me. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Somebody say, praise God, there's something going on the inside of me. There's something stirring on the inside of me. Bible says, stir up the gift within you. What is the gift? The presence of God. The very anointing of Christ. It has a will and it has a purpose to do something good. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. It said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, in word or in deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks of God and the Father by him. Christ can be formed in us. He is already in us, but we can develop. We can develop ourselves, amen, to manifest the Spirit of God on the inside of us by practicing this very scripture here, by singing songs, hymns, and spiritual songs, praying in the Spirit. Brother Marty Blackwell came here and teach from Rhema Bible Church, and he taught, you know, he said, you know, this very scripture, he said, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs on a daily basis, meditation and prayer and considering those things and staying in the Word of God to help Christ be formed in us. Matthew chapter 10, verse 20. That's what God's trying to do. He said, listen, Paul had spoke this thing. He said, my little children, in Galatians chapter 4, verse 19, you don't need to go there. I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Everybody say, Christ, be formed in you. Well, he was writing to the people in Galatians. They were Christians, right? Galatian church, right? Church of Galatia. They were Christian people. But he said, I still, you know, travail that Christ be formed in you. Wow. Do you know it can be much better than this? People think they just get saved and go to church, put their name on a membership, it's all together. Somebody say, no, it can get much better than you get in there, you sit in there, you get up under a good word until the image and the form of Christ is formed in you. The person of Christ is formed in you. Have the word preached to you till you start to act like him, till you start to talk like him, till you start to do the works that he said you should do. He said, greater works you'll do. How is that going to happen? By hearing the word of Christ. by you hearing the word of the Holy Ghost, by you hearing a good word taught, and then you meditating on it through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. You know what will happen when you stay in the word and you meditate on that word? You water those seeds. I was praying in the Holy Ghost. I was praying in the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost said, you know, you left the ministry out. I said, what? He said, yeah, you left the ministry out. He said, I want there to be another ministry in there. He said, remember that word that I told you about, watering word seeds? He said, I told you, he said, that word that preached about watering word seed. He said, there needs to be a ministry of people. He said, people that will water seeds. Amen. For ministry. And you know, the tape ministry is a part of that. Yes. People that, wouldn't it be something if there's somebody else to say, listen, he's preaching that word, but we're going to form a ministry. And the purpose of this ministry is to make sure that word is watered and that word doesn't die. We're going to help shore it. It stays alive. Somebody say, a word water. Teaching people how to sing in songs, hymns, and spiritual songs. Amen. How to meditate, how to pray, how to stay in the word, how to hold on to a word. Because if you're not taught those things, you'll lose it. Amen. You don't know how many people go to church and hear something, and by Monday morning, it's gone. Amen. Right. Tuesday morning, it's gone, because no one is there, amen, to teach them how to hold on to a word. Right. If you don't say it over and over again, if you don't have people to sit there and say, listen, I'm not going to let you forget it. Amen. How many words have we forgotten? How many words have we forgotten? Things that have helped us. Oh, man, I forgot all about that. Well, what happens if we had some people there say, listen, my ministry, there are different people that have different ministry. My ministry is not going to be anything, but I am going to water the word, and I'm going to make sure these people don't forget that word. Amen. We're not going to let the word go dormant. So it's the work of that ministry until Christ be formed in us. Do y'all get that vision? Do you get that vision? That's why it takes a long, somebody say it takes a long time. Prayed and I believe God. I pray and I believe God. We just don't want a bunch of people. People are nice, but we want Jesus manifest. Amen. You got to be faithful to stand there. Amen? Amen. But if we get two or three people to gather together in his name, you can do anything. Somebody say amen. And it can get much better than that. Until Christ be formed in us. Preach Jesus, you get Jesus. Preach flesh, you get flesh. Preach foolishness, you get foolishness. You get what you preach. So we preach Jesus Christ. Guess what? We should start to see some Jesus Christ start to come back. Amen. Somebody said, you are what you eat. No, you are what you preach. Amen. Somebody said, he cuts the fluff. He cuts the fluff. We only keep what we can preach. God's got more there. Amen. But as it's revealed in the Spirit, then it will start to manifest. We're all here because we're holding on to something that was revealed by the Spirit. Somebody say amen. We're all in agreement on some word that we heard someplace, and that's what we're holding on to. Later on, there'll be more words coming. There'll be more manifestations of the Spirit, more revelation. And as those things are revealed, guess what happens? We'll start to see the materialization, amen, of those things that are revealed to us by the Spirit. There are a lot of people that do things in the flesh. And you do things in the flesh, it's whatever you can do in your own strength. But when you do it by the revealed word of God, God might give us a heart for mission. Somebody say, and as we preach that thing, you know it'll show up, missionaries. Amen. We start talking about workers, you know it'll show up, workers. Amen. We're not allowed, we got a word, don't exceed your excellence. Don't go beyond your spirit of excellence. Well, also, don't go beyond the revelation of the word that you've got. Amen? Amen. Somebody say, cut the fluff. Streamline. Focused. I love what God's got here. I'm overjoyed what God's got here. Somebody say, amen, and value it. Do you get overjoyed when you see your brothers and sisters in Christ? It's a streamlined body, amen? It'd be pretty hard to get a negative confession in here. Yeah, I'm serious. It'd be pretty hard to get a negative confession in here. You're going to get a positive confession. It's going to be pretty hard to find somebody to stab you in the back around here. It really is. Hallelujah. Why? The word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Streamline. You know, when you go to good stores, we talk about quality of things. You go, somebody say specialty. Walmart's huge because it sells everything, amen? But when you go to Walmart, you're going to get something, but you ain't going to get the best. You want the best, you go to a specialty shop. Cut the fluff. Now listen, if we stay up under the word of God, something will happen. I believe in this. I believe in this. And I'm crazy enough to step out on what I believe in. And I believe I'll see those things which I'm believing God to do. I don't care if I've never seen it before. I don't care if anybody else is ever doing it. Amen. If I see it in the Word, I want to see it in the natural. I don't care if it takes me 10, 15, 20 years to get there. I'm going to believe God till I see it. I'm I'm going to hold on to it. I'm believing this. I'm believing God for Matthew chapter 10, verse 20. I'm believing God that the body of Christ will get to the point to where we get a good word, to where we're not discouraged because we're not like everybody else. Amen, but we just hang on there, amen, and keep eating that good word and keep developing ourselves and keep training, getting stronger. You know, we need to play that Rocky song. We need to add that to the worship service. And we get there until Christ be formed in us, and then this will start to happen. Matthew chapter 10, verse 20. Somebody say, when you cut the fluff, isn't that what Gideon did? He cut the fluff. Well, he didn't cut the fluff. God did. Took him to the water and said, watch how they drink. He said, watch what they take in. Matthew chapter 10, verse 20. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of God, of your Father which speaketh in you. Well, don't you know that you can have the word preached to you to the point to where the image of Christ is formed in you so strong that it will start to manifest? There are certain people that hear so much other mess that they manifest what they hear. You can tell what TV shows, what newscasts they listen to. You can tell who they hang with, what's their influence. Amen. It starts to manifest. For in the time of Christ, it will be whoever it is that you listen to that you speak. There are certain people that, you know, you talk to certain kids and they start speaking, all you see is Snoop Dogg Dogg. It'd be Snoop Dogg Dogg that speaks to you because that's all they hear. There are some people you talk to them real quick and you try to talk about Jesus, and all of a sudden it'll be Rush Limbaugh that's speaking through you because that's all that you hear, because that's all that's formed in you. There are some people that all you hear, amen, it'll be Farrakhan, amen, because that's all that they hear, Farrakhan, and that's him that speaks through them. Well, we need to get to the point to where we hear Christ, and we hear the anointing of Jesus Christ until the image of Christ is formed in us, that it will be him that speaks through us. And we're going to get there, amen. We're not there yet, but we'll get there. If we all corporately decide to live that way, you water the seed and we hang on it, before you know, we'll just start to have those manifestations. Somebody say, snap, pull a Sybil on him. Holy Ghost. And he's so filled with the Spirit. You know that's possible? People are trying to chase that away. They're trying to institutionalize the church. Institutionalize the things of God. No, this thing can't be boxed in. This thing is supernatural. Always has been supernatural. God is real. And God has always manifested himself. Amen. You will not lock him up. They could not keep him in the grave. Amen. They could not keep Jesus in a grave. They could not keep him in a box. So who do these people today think they are to tell Jesus how he's going to act and what he's going to do? God is God. And he will speak when he's ready to speak. You know, there were some people that way. There were some people, the Sadducees, didn't believe in resurrection of the dead. They didn't believe in anything supernatural. That's what they were standing on. Did that stop Jesus? He didn't care what they thought. We got to be seeker sensitive. Not when you know who made the seeker. Not when Jesus knows what he's doing. He put that thing together. He knows what they need. It says this, John chapter 6, verse 53. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat my flesh, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me and I in him. Somebody say covenant. Covenant. Basically what he's talking about there is, unless you got a covenant with me, you don't have any life. Life is your covenant with God. He's not talking about cannibalism. What he's basically talking about is covenant. A covenant relationship with God. Also go to John chapter 14, verse 12. John chapter 14, verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall also do. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Some people say, well, that ain't true. It's not happening. It's just a time and a season for everything. Well, maybe it's just time for you to start to believe in God. There's never a season that we don't need God to do great works. When we don't see these things happening, it's not because God is unwilling. It's because no one really believes that these things can happen and represent it with their life. We got a whole lot of talk, but very little walk. You know, don't tell me what you believe until I see what you do. One man said, show me your faith, and I'll show you my works. I tell you, I believe something. Sooner or later, I'm going to be doing something to back up what I believe in. Anybody can talk. You can't tell me the building's on fire when you're sitting there, amen, drinking tea. I ain't going to believe you. But if I see you get up running out, you know, I know maybe I need to move. These greater works will he do because I go to my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that I will do, that my Father be glorified in the Son. If you ask some things, people have a problem with this. You need to get a new Bible. I don't care how much you think you know, but you just need a new Bible. You need to get yourself a black highlighter and then back up your theology. But the Word of God says, if you ask what? He said, according to my will. Well, somebody say, well, that's just according to the will of God what you ask. Well, we know what his will is. His will is to do his good pleasure. Amen. God had pleasure in the prosperity of his people. Amen. Talk that smack to somebody that doesn't know the Word of God. I don't care if it says it, that's what's going to be. Amen. If we believe it and we learn it long enough, it'll start to manifest sooner or later. Amen. People are a trip going to tell you what you can believe or not. You ain't paying them out of bills. Glory to God. You better hold on to what's right and to what's true and what you know to be true. If God said it, you better stand on it. Amen. Don't let anybody steal the Word of God for you. If God is just good enough to say something like that, you let him be good. Anybody ever got around somebody and tried to do something good, then they had a friend or anybody that got around them? Well, they didn't really mean that. Pastor wasn't really trying to say that, you know, try to lessen it. God don't need those kind of representatives today. If God said he would do those things, he will do those things. Period. He can handle it. That's the same spirit of, you know, that is the same spirit when the lady went and poured the alabaster bottle of oil on the feet of Jesus. Surely that could have been used for something else. That's just too much. If the woman with the alabaster bottle of oil wanted to be good and Jesus received it. Well, if God wants to be good and just to give you just about everything he's got, what is the problem with it? The problem is you don't know how good God is. You don't know God. People don't know how good God is. They'd rather call you selfish and greedy, amen, and materialistic other than confessing God's goodness. No, you're just greedy. I'm not greedy. God's just good. Hallelujah. And whatsoever ye ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. You just keep the covenant, and God will keep his. He binds himself to the same covenant. He binds himself to the same covenant. Love says, listen, whatever you ask, you got it. He binds you to the same covenant. And I pray the Father that he will give you another comforter that ye may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. Well, there was one thing it says, listen, you love me if you do whatsoever I tell you to do. You'll be my disciple. Love does whatsoever it's told to do. God loves you. And he gives you that same commandment. And I can back that up. Amen. Go to John chapter 14, verse 3, 4, 20, 14, 20. John 14, 20. At that day he shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. Those that keep the commandment and those that keep God's commandment just do whatever God tells them to do. Somebody say, and those that sow that kind of spirit and sow that type and have that kind of covenant relationship, God will keep it with them. Then they can pray and ask anything and get it. The man that will do anything for God, God will do anything for him. And the man that will surrender anything to God, God will surrender anything to him. Amen. Praise God. Easy come, easy go. You can let it go easy, it can come easy. Be a funnel. Amen. And keepeth them. He it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will what? And will what? And will do what? Manifest myself to him. Now that covenant that we're talking about, somebody say amen, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood, he that keeps that covenant, that's a covenant. And those that can honor the covenant of God and stay strong in that covenant of God, which is the Word of God, amen, hallelujah, God will manifest himself. That means he'll show up. Not only do you get what you ask for in prayer, but God himself will manifest himself to him. How many of you want to see a manifestation of the Holy Ghost? How many of you want to see manifestations of God? I want to see a manifestation of God.
Well, what do I got to do to see it manifest? I got to pray real hard? No, I just got to keep the covenant of God and obey God in all things. He'll show up. Amen. Glory to God. You keep a covenant with God, he'll show up somewhere. Blow, bless the name of Jesus. Many people are screaming at ceilings and screaming at carpets and yelling and getting hoarse voices trying to get God to show up. Keep a covenant someplace. Didn't he meet Abraham in the midst of a covenant? He split that thing in half, and in the middle of the ox or whatever it was, God was right there. If you want to see God show up, get a covenant and cut it someplace. You keep your covenant with God. He'll show up somewhere along the line as you're, ooh, brangin, didi, you stale, bratatasa, michiki. Hallelujah. Praise God. Do you know that Nations Church is a covenant? It might not be for you, but for me, it's a covenant. God said, do this. I said, yeah, I'll do it. Therefore, I expect to see God in the midst of my obedience to him doing what he said he would do. Hallelujah. Some say, not only am I going to get what I covenanted God to get, amen, but I expect to see him in the middle of my covenant. God said, I'll meet you in the midst of your obedience. And I will. Somebody say, I will. I will manifest myself. Ooh, you find some people that obey God, God will manifest himself. God won't manifest himself with disobedient people. Because if he did show up, we'd all be in trouble. Amen. I mean, you don't want God to show up when you're not obedient. Amen. You want him to show up when you're doing the right thing. Amen. Ananias and Sapphira, that was God showing up. 15 verse 7, John 15 verse 7. If ye abide in me, my words abide in you, shall ask what ye will, and it shall be what? Done. If you abide in me, somebody say, and my word. Glory to God. That means you hear the things of God, the scripture of God, the prophetic. You hear the word of God. You hold on to that word and don't let that word go by singing in songs, hymns, and spiritual songs, meditating on it. Hold on to the word. If we can hold on to the word like we hold on to our stock and bond and money, boy, we'd be blessed. Somebody say, hold on to the word like a dog on a bone. You can hold on to the word. You can ask for anything and it'll be done. I sense that by the Holy Ghost that God's trying to tell us to hold on to the word. Don't let the word of God go. Thank you, Jesus. Get around people that'll help you hold the word. Somebody say amen. Not take the word out of your heart, but keep it there. Somebody say amen. Woo, that's what I like about you people. You hold on to a word and you don't let it go. Somebody say, I'm going to learn to hold on to the word that whatever I ask, it'll be done. Somebody say, glory to God. We'll start to pray different. God heal Wilma and she'll be healed. Amen. God do this and it'll be done. Somebody say, amen. Amen. Wherein is my Father, what? Glorified. Ooh, hallelujah. Wow. Wherein is my Father glorified? See, this is the kind of thing that will excite God and glorify God. Somebody say, it'll make him show up. Glorified means the light to shine on something. That means the spotlight will hit God the Father. Wow, when we start to keep the word, start to honor the word, and we start to pray, and those things that we pray start to happen, the light will shine on God the Father. We won't get the glory, he will. When we learn to live in this measure and in this dimension, we won't get exalted. Glory to God, he will get exalted. He will be glorified when we develop this type of lifestyle. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Wherein is my Father glorified, that ye may bear much. Somebody say much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. God will be glorified. He'll get all the glory and you'll bear a lot of fruit and you'll be his disciple. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you. That means abiding in him. How do you abide in God? Praying in the Holy Ghost, singing in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, constantly keeping the Lord in the midst of you, never letting him get too far away. Where are you, Jesus? You're at work. I just want to make sure you're there. Let me take a little bit of time right here. I just want to take a little time and say, God, I acknowledge your presence right now, right where you are. I'm not doing this job by myself. Somebody say, abiding in God, abiding in Christ. You abide in Christ. Paul said, pray, continue, pray always. Don't cease from praying. Be praying all the time, in all season, in all times, be praying. That doesn't mean you got to be shaka, blah, 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 all in the grocery store and everywhere. Amen? But you can always be in prayers. You can talk to Jesus. There was a time in my life that people thought I was nuts when I was a kid because I'd go around talking. They think I'd talk to myself. No, I was talking to Jesus.
And I didn't know I was going down my school in middle school. I was in elementary school, and I'd walk down the halls talking, just talking out loud, talking to God. And I'd get blessed in school. I'd have revival services right in my classroom. Yes. If you abide in me, make it a point to abide in God. Never to get far from the presence of God. Never to get far. You know, he's only a prayer away. He's only a prayer away. Glory to God. Like when you were to the point in your stuff, you said, I just can't handle it anymore. You feel, this is it. That forget it. I'm just going to have to get to God. I'm going to acknowledge the presence of God. Amen. I'm going to abide in God. Are you abiding in Christ? Andrew Murray wrote a book, Abiding in Christ. A powerful, powerful, powerful book that you might want to pick up and read. Abiding in Christ by Andrew Murray. Abiding in Christ and having the word abide in you. When you abide in Christ and you don't get rid of the presence of God, amen, and you keep the word in your heart, amen, don't always just be praying without having some word. You just be a looney tune. Yeah. You shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Wherein is my Father glorified that you may bear much fruit. Somebody say praise God. Stand up. One last scripture. Romans chapter 8 verse 9 says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if the spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is what? None of his. Somebody say, I have the spirit of God dwelling on the inside of me. And I believe with all of my heart that it is God that's working on the inside of me to will and to do his good pleasure. Say, I am not worthless, but I'm a special package. I'm going to change the wrappings to match the inside. So I say, I'm working on the package. I'm working on the wrapping paper. Some of y'all need to put a bow on to do what God wants you to do.